This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number three of VSiN Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill here with you guys on this Tuesday night. As always, VSiN.com/watch. The VSiN Watch app is where you can see us and you can listen to us live 24/7 on Sirius XM channel 158. Will, we do have ourselves a little bit of a development on the south side of Chicago. Yankees have a 3-0 lead. The White Sox have the bases loaded. Now there's two outs. I'm hoping Gerrit Cole can get us out of this jam, but here we go again with the Yankees and White Sox. It feels like it's never easy.
Can it just ever be easy? It can never be easy. Jeez.
Well, it was easy if you bet the Detroit Tigers tonight because the Orioles are now having a position player pitch. So the Tigers are having themselves a blast out there in the Motor City. We'll put the baseball off to the side for now before it gives us an aneurysm. And let's talk a little college football with our buddy DraftKings trading manager Matt Grill, who joins us to kick off this hour number three of VSiN Primetime. And he joins us via the Progressive guest line. Matt, always a pleasure chatting with you. Before we get into, because I know you have some stuff on the Rocket Classic and the PGA Tour, you got some stuff with the regular season win totals, some of the games of the year. I just want to know from Big Ten Media Day, which is happening right now in Chicago, I'm fascinated by Indiana from an odds maker's perspective, because it almost felt like as the betting market, we all thought, okay, 2 years ago, Indiana has the nice Cinderella story. Let's put him off to the side. That's not going to happen again. And then it actually went even better. They ran the table, won the national title. Do you as an odds maker now have to adjust mentally and with your numbers as, hey, Indiana is now a preeminent program in college football as opposed to just lightning in a bottle?
Yeah, we talked about it a bunch this summer, guys. And, you know, I think we all took Indiana for granted what they did in that 1 year where we thought it was just kind of lightning in a bottle. And that was not the case. You know, Kurt Cignetti proved to be just a true magician with that team and what he was able to do. And, you know, it was no fluke. They were completely legit last year, dominated pretty much every opponent, knocked out Ohio State, you know, just kicked the rear ends of Alabama out of the Rose Bowl and just really ran through the playoff there, you know, before a tight game with Miami. So, definitely not going to be taking them for granted this year. I've got them tied for second in my power ratings to start the year, tied with Notre Dame right behind Ohio State. We've got them as a second favorite in the Big Ten at plus 250 behind Ohio State. So they're going to keep it rolling there now. They brought in Josh Hoover, a quarterback. So definitely us at DK, and I think draft odds makers around the world, we're not going to be making that as mistake again with another team trying kind of rising from the ashes like this. We're going to see this more and more now in the portal era. So definitely something we've got to keep an eye on year to year now with another team that could maybe rise up and do this, but just still an incredible story from last year.
Yeah, I want to touch on that, Matt, because from a perspective behind the counter, when you get a huge number on the national title winner, a huge number on the Heisman, and they both kind of go hand in hand with Mendoza and Indiana, what are those conversations like behind the counter saying, you know what, who are these teams we can't hang too long a number on? How do you prevent that from happening again? Not that it's likely to happen again, but what are some of those discussions like when you get a big long shot to come in and shock everyone and win the whole damn thing?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to hope the history's on your side if it's not happening. You know, a fact that basically 100-1, some books 150-1 winner on the in college football, that just doesn't happen where you get a long shot. It's always the blue bloods. And, you know, when it comes down to a couple games, tough to get through and beat these teams. You know, in this era now, we're getting these completely rebuilt teams year to year where, you know, you can have a roster with half of being new turnover. That's hard to assess, and that's been the challenge for us the last couple of years. And it proved something that can actually happen last year with this team.
This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill. We're hanging out with Matt Grill, DraftKings trading manager, talking all things college football. Last week, SEC Media Days, Nick Saban was doing some work for SEC Network, and he was saying that, well, just because a conference wins the national title doesn't mean they're the best conference. I want the objective opinion from an odds maker. Is the Big Ten the best conference in America? They've won the last three national titles. I know the SEC propaganda that's out there, but in your opinion, is the Big Ten now the best conference in all of college football?
It's close, guys. I mean, you know, there's a handful of teams from each conference that could definitely win it this year. So, you know, it might not necessarily be like that means they're the best conference, you know, whoever wins the national title. I think that's a big factor in it. So that's just all kind of narrative and hearsay. So really not too concerned with it. But, you know, the SEC, of course, if you just look at it, it's how deep they are. You know, a couple of playoff teams from last year, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, who went deep in the playoffs with Ole Miss. You know, they're sitting with a 7.5 win total on each of those teams. So that just shows you just how hard it is, how hard a team can – the scheduling can be for a team year in, year out. So just so hard to navigate these conferences when they're this deep and this good.
All right, Matt, and maybe you offer this, but to follow up on Femi's point, and you guys offer so much, which makes it fun from a better standpoint, so many different options, so many different ways to attack your opinion. If I put you on the spot and said, who wins the national title, SEC versus the field, is that line exist? What would that line look like?
I don't have the number in front of me, guys, but we do have up conference to win the national title up on site right now. So if you really have a strong opinion on that, you can go and bet that with us right now. So this can be fun to kind of watch it all throughout the season. We're going to update that market up throughout the season. And me personally, I think my two favorite teams to win the Natty this year are Georgia and Oregon. So I got one team from each of those two conferences. Really like where those two teams are positioned this year. So, again, just can't wait to see it play out.
Yeah, and I think we're all looking forward to see how this thing plays out in college football this season. A lot of monster matchups that we have on deck. We were talking before we came on the air. You guys have a lot of games of the year. How many of them do you have exactly, and what are some of the games of the year that are getting most of the attention from the betting public?
Yeah, we've got 70 up, guys. Had them up for about a month and a half now so far. So seeing some good action on these. And you've got the usual kind of big games like Ohio State and Michigan, Alabama, Georgia. There's a couple that are getting a lot of action, though, of course, with this Ole Miss-LSU game, which I think is in week three, which is going to be the Lane Kiffin Bowl, essentially. So it's seen some action, I think, so far in Ole Miss, lane 1.5. Another game that's kind of garnered some action. It's awesome just today. People liking Penn State at home midseason hosting USC. USC's got a really poor record going east in Big Ten thus far. We've now thus moved this one. It opened USC a point and a half favorite, now flipped to Penn State a point and a half favorite. So that's going to be a really fun one. People got their eye on midseason.
Matt, last year we saw Clemson, Penn State, preseason darlings absolutely fall on their face. Now, again, same thing with Indiana going from long odds to actually winning the thing. Doesn't mean just because it happened last year, it's going to happen this year. But if anyone of the top 10, 15 teams, do you think there's anyone that has that potential where disaster strikes and they're just nowhere near as good as we think as the market thinks?
I think it's Texas A&M, guys. You know, they were good. They were really good last year. You know, they really just weren't elite. You know, they got beat by Texas late in the season, did make the SEC title game and got ousted, only scoring 3 points against Miami at home. So, you know, I like Marcel Reed a lot, but I just don't think they're one of these elite programs yet, guys. They've got so much money, just haven't been able to do it. So that's a team I could see just falling right back to like their 8-4 normal record.
Yeah, I mean, Texas A&M going 8-4. Would anyone bat an eye? I mean, it just feels like they're an 8-4, 9-3 kind of program, regardless how much talent they have. They had the 1 year with 11 wins with Johnny Manziel and Mike Evans. But that was yesteryears. We're talking 2026 now in college football. How about the win totals, though? What are you seeing there behind the window?
Yeah, lots of action on these guys. A lot of moved, you know, a full win since we put these out. These have been out for months now. So also the G6 teams. The lower conference has seen a lot of action on those, so it's always fun. We've got so many different ways to bet these. We've got a main line, a low alt, a high alt, exact wins, conference wins. So go check it out. Just a million ways to bet these conference and regular season win totals.
Any of them that are really catching a lot of attention there, Matt?
Yeah, it depends what day you talk to me. So I'm looking at the bet ticker all day, and one day it might be one team, the next it's another. So people definitely like to kind of glob on a couple teams here and there, but it's really all over the board. So it's fun to see.
National title market. Is there a team where you're sitting there behind the counter and saying, wow, I can't believe they're betting this team at long odds. I can't believe they're taking a shot on this team to either make the playoffs or win the whole thing. Has there been any action in the futures market that you just kind of get taken off guard by and just caught by surprise by?
You know, early on, it was Penn State. You know, they got a really easy schedule, but, you know, with a whole new team going in, it's going to be tough for them in year one. They're still sitting at 61, so still a long shot. But the one I just see constantly surprised me, a team I mentioned earlier, is Oklahoma. So with a win total sitting at 7.5, it's a really tough schedule. You know, they're 35-1, and I just don't see it at that number for these guys, but they seem to continue to take money.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of people come on in the past week say that Oklahoma's a dark horse in the SEC. So that matches up. What you guys are seeing behind the window matches up with what we've been hearing when speaking with other college football guests here. Last one before we let you go here, and we do appreciate your time. The PGA Tour, we have the Rocket Classic this week over in Detroit. Anyone that the bettor should be looking at to go ahead and take this one home this weekend?
Yeah, guys, for some weird reason, this is like one of my favorite tournaments every year. I've hit, I think, three winners in this since I've been betting golf. So it's a fun one, kind of a big array of winners. But it's pretty much a bomb and gouge course, no water out there. I saw last year with Aldridge Pocketer with his first win at over 100-1. So I'm kind of sticking to the same formula this week, guys, with the guys who just can just bomb it out there, maybe catch fire with the putter. So like Jake Knapp this week, he had continued to return to form last week, so I like seeing that. Also, Michael Brennan can bomb it. Davis Thompson has got a second place here. He was good last week. Also, Nikolai Højgaard, maybe looking for his first win, as well as Michael Thorbjørnsen. So looking for the bombers, see if someone can catch fire with the putter, and just kind of sticking with the guys who have been hot lately. So can't wait to get to tee times on Thursday with that one.
All right, bomb and gouge in the Motor City at the Rocket Classic on the PGA Tour. He is Matt Grill, DraftKings trading manager. Make sure you check out all of his work over at DraftKings. They do a tremendous job with all the markets that they have, especially in college football, a sport that we all absolutely love. Matt, we appreciate the time. Enjoy your betcation, and we will talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, guys.
That is Matt Grill joining us. Thanks, via Matt. The Progressive Guest Line. Man, Oklahoma keeps coming up, Will. Like, that's the team. Like, we talked to all really these SEC defense guys. Yeah, everyone's in.
They got a defense and a quarterback. They got a defense and a quarterback. That's a good place to start.
Do you trust Brett Venables, though? I'm not sure I do. Maybe we'll talk some college football when we come back here, as well as Major League Baseball scores here on the VSiN Primetime.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The sports calendar never stops, and the sharp plays covers it all. And they've been winning for 15 straight years. All of it documented, logs posted publicly at sharpplays.com. That kind of transparency, it's rare in this industry. When the sharp plays moves, the sports books take notice. Advanced AI, trusted insider intel. They find the value before the numbers shift. Respected, watched, feared. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill. Thank you to Matt Grill of DraftKings, who joined us in the last segment. Will, what the hell were the Yankees doing out there? And over in left field, I don't know. It's just like an awkward position for the ball. Nobody wanted to call it, and it's a drops in there for a single. So hopefully that doesn't come back to bite us. But it's 3-0 Yankees in the bottom of the fifth. We got a runner on first, one out. If we can just get ground down into a double play to end the inning, and we can win our Yankees first five, that would be much appreciated. And it's never. You said it earlier. It's never easy. I'll say this: it's always an adventure. That's what it is with this Yankees White Sox series. It's always an adventure.
Defense and base running have been major issues the entire Aaron Boone tenure. And a lot of that is just discipline, attention to detail, fundamentals, things that, you know, cross over through other sports. You hosted for years with Michael Lombardi doing the GM shuffle, just the basics of, you know what, we're going to go over this. It's boring. It's mundane, but it has to be taught. It has to be emphasize, and that's just a routine pop-up. Yeah, a little bit of in between, not quite the infielder ball, not quite the outfielder ball, but that ball has to be caught. There's no circumstance where that ball should hit the ground, and it did. And instead of two outs, nobody on, and we could pretty much catch our first five. Now, you know what, we've got a little not trouble to work around, because when you're up 3-0 and it's the fifth inning and you got the first five bet, one out, one on, you're still in great shape. But if this guy gets on, all of a sudden, you're one swing away from tying the game. So a bet that should be over, and you know what? We're counting our money. Now we got to work a little bit. And again, still favored, but just look, it's something that, and I honestly, I don't probably take it into account enough. when handicapping baseball, defense and base running for that matter, which some of that stuff's hard to handicap, as we do get a pop up to right. And the Yankees are very kind and gracious enough to actually catch this ball. So two outs, we're still not out of it, but we're in good shape. But defense, I don't know how you feel as a baseball handicapper, just not the easiest thing to handicap. You can look at errors, you can look at a lot of stuff, but it's one of those things, Femi, where overlook it at your own peril, because, man, it doesn't matter until it does.
Yeah, I've been a victim of overlooking it. I'll put my hand up and say, like, I don't really factor it in a ton into my handicap. But, like, a lot of it is just like, all right, who's on the mound? You know, it's like who's on the mound, or if I'm betting some home runs, who are some guys that have been like hard hit percentage, barrel percentage, all that stuff. Like, I'm not looking at like fielding and all that stuff. Like, Fangraphs has like all that information readily available, but I just don't really look at it, or Baseball Savant or whichever website you want to use to help you handicap. But it's just not something that's a part of my process.
Hard to turn it into a bet too. Yeah, it's hard to go, you know what, this team's bad on defense, so you're gonna bet the other team just because one team's bad on defense. It just doesn't work like that. But again, it doesn't matter until it does.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like something that you should be factoring in. Or if you are, it's like it honestly almost feels a little bit like a fool's errand, even though it's not, because it's important clearly. But it's like, now I want to handicap their defense. It's like, okay, well, then you might talk yourself out of a winner. You might talk yourself into a loser.
Yes.
I don't think that the juice is worth the squeeze, if you will, for me to handicap the defenses that are out there. As Munetaka Murakami on the mound. He just struck out to end the inning. So bang, bang, Yankees get it done for us in the first 5-3-0. A little bit of an adventure there towards the end. The fourth inning, Gerrit Cole had to get out of that jam. The bases were loaded, so that could have gone off the rails, but we survive it nonetheless. Give some money away yesterday with the first five under. We get some money back tonight with the Yankees in the first five. It looks like the Cardinals are making a pitching change in our primetime game of the night, that being Cubs and the Cardinals. We're in the top of the fifth. Chicago has a runner on first, nobody out. They have a 7-1 lead against St. Louis. So let's keep tacking on those runs, boys. That's all I need. As many runs as possible. I don't want to have to sweat anything on the bottom side of the frame. But some other scores from around Major League Baseball that are happening currently. Diamondbacks up 6-1 in the bottom of the eighth against the Pirates. You have the Nationals, who have a 4-2 lead in the bottom of the fourth against the Blue Jays. In the bottom of the eighth in Cincinnati, the Reds lead at 2-0. Against the Guardians. The Reds also have a runner in scoring position at second, so a chance to maybe add to that lead. Royals have a 2-1 lead on the Twins in the top of the seventh. We do have a few games that have gone final. The Tigers beat the Orioles 14-0. A couple touchdowns there for Detroit. Marlins hung on for a 1-0 lead over the Phillies, and then the Rangers beat the Rays 4-1. So Texas continues their really good baseball here, as they've taken over the lead in the American League West. Will they hold on to it? I'm not so sure. I feel like there's another twist and turn in that division, likely coming from Houston. I don't think it's coming from my beloved Seattle Mariners, but the Texas Rangers, got to give them their credit. Even though they have the negative run differential, they have been playing some pretty good baseball over the last month or so.
Yeah, and that's a division where, man, maybe 85, 86 wins might get it done. By the way, the Nationals extend their lead. Garcia with a home run.
A
day late. I faded them yesterday against Scherzer. Had a million guys on. Couldn't quite get it done. But they're teeing off on Toronto, a Toronto team which took a series of miracles for them not to be the World Series champions. Now, they probably should have lost to Seattle in the ALCS. But, hey, they also, once they got there, probably should have beaten the Dodgers. It took, a series of miracles. One out, nobody out in the ninth. In a journeyman infielder, homers to tie. And then all the hell breaks loose in extras. And now Toronto, just an afterthought this year, Femi. They're getting beat up tonight in the nation's capital. A couple other things I wanted to mention. Byron Buxton leaves the game for Minnesota with hip issues. I think that's news, but you know what? When you're hurt, three times a week, I don't know that it's news anymore.
No.
And a friend it's of the show, friend the of the lineup. Network, Todd Wishnev. Yes, exactly. Day that ends in Y. Friend of the show, friend of the network, Todd Wishnev. I do the Megapod with him. Mm-hmm. He bets baseball props. He's betting year round. He had Romo on the White Sox under 0.5 hits to not get a hit. You and I were talking about the ball that dropped in that never should have dropped in.
Wow.
That was Romo that hit it, and that's what beat him. So sorry, Toddy. Better luck next time, buddy.
Yeah, Todd also cursing the Yankees defense. Yes. I mean, if you're him, you just got to be absolutely livid. It's like, oh, like, you got it? You got it? No, who got it? Oh, nobody's got it. Like, it's like, okay, that now we're just messing around out there in the outfield. But luckily, it didn't hurt us. But unfortunately for Todd, that cost him his bet. We do have Welcome Back WNBA. That's about to start up. The Fever and the Storm. I know you're locked in on that one.
Great all-star game.
I didn't watch it. I did watch the three-point contest. I was out at dinner, and it happened to be on in the at the brew pub that we were at. I saw AZ Fudd. She was lighting it up from 3-point range. So that is her skill set. She is a shooter. I think that's her role is supposed to be more of the Klay Thompson to Paige Becker's Steph Curry is kind of what we're looking at there. Although Paige Becker's game is not really like Steph Curry's, but people can get the analogy at least that follow basketball. Because like. Obviously,
where you're going with that, but okay. Yeah.
I'm going to leave that alone. But what I was saying is that there's been a lot of criticism around AZ Fudd because Olivia Miles, who is the second overall pick, is like a top five player already in the league. Like Olivia Miles is tremendous as a player, and the Minnesota Lynx are your favorites to win the WNBA at like around like plus 170 or so, because they just got Nafisa Collier back right before the All-Star break. So we will see how the Lynx pick up some of that momentum post All-Star break that they were playing with, because they look all the part. But they looked great last year too. Will, as I saw, I'm sure you were watching in the WNBA playoffs. Everyone thought it was gonna be Minnesota Phoenix, and then here came the Las Vegas Aces and Asia Wilson, who is obviously already the greatest player of all time in the history of the sport.
Somebody has to get through to that league. I mean, there's a list of things that need to be adjusted. And you're laughing. It's not funny. How about not putting your playoffs against the start of the NFL season? How about that? You got July, you got August. I know you don't want to go against the NBA. By the way, the Nats hit another home run here, so it's now 7-2. Again, there's plenty of issues with that league, but putting your playoffs on in September when everything, you got baseball pennant races, you got the NFL, you got college football. Not ideal. Let me ask you though, as somebody, you're more locked into the WNBA than I am. Is there, if you had to bet one team right now to win the whole thing, what is the best bet?
Ooh, that's a good question here. So let me pull up the odds real quick, because I want to factor it. Because like you asked me like who I think is going to win it, I'd say Minnesota, but they're the favorite, and like the betting market has that one priced appropriately. I can't quit the Liberty. Like I know like they have their issues like defensively, like they're a little bit older, they get injured around Breanna Stewart, but they're 8-1. I would look at them. I wouldn't look at Golden State. I don't think they have the horses in the playoffs. Really good regular season story. Don't buy in the postseason. I don't necessarily buy Indiana either. I know that would be a popular choice for a lot of folks. They have Caitlin Clark, Kelsey Mitchell, Aaliyah Boston. I don't really see it there. The Wings feel a little bit early. So if I had to take like a longer shot, it would be New York or Las Vegas, I think, for teams that, because like the Aces just have the best player. But the Liberty have Stewart. They have Jonquel Jones, who was the All-Star Game MVP, by the way. So they have some pedigree on that team as well. That wraps up Talking W. We'll get back to NFL and college football when we return.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, I believe we're in the bottom of the fifth now in the Cubs and the Cardinals game. Hoping that we can get this one home, at least a bet that I made. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill, hanging with you guys. Yes, we are headed to the bottom of the fifth. 8-1 Chicago with the lead here. They have 10 hits, man. Like, this is just, don't screw this up in the bottom side of the frame. And like, it's, I'm obviously a very, very massive favorite to cash this ticket, but I've seen some weird stuff in baseball. We saw the Cubs put up 7 in the second inning. Who's to say that the Cardinals can't do that here in the fifth? So not counting any chickens before they hatch. None of that stuff. Let's go ahead and get this home. We do have some West Coast games that are about to get underway in about 10 minutes. A handful of them. Astros, Angels, Red Sox, Athletics, Rockies, Padres, Brewers, Giants. And then for you, those of you on the late night tip, 10-10 Eastern, 7-10 West Coast, Mariners and the Dodgers. So a decent amount of West Coast baseball tonight, man, because it did feel like, it's like, okay, like we have a decent amount of games, but not a whole lot early on in the program. That's because we have a lot of teams out there on the West Coast. So it almost feels like a perfect 50-50 split. Like if the NFL could ever give us this on an NFL Sunday, it'd be glorious. Like we get it for week 18. That's the only time we ever get it. And like half the games are damn near irrelevant. It's like, who cares about that? Like, give me a week 7, 6-6 on a Sunday. You know, I'd love that.
Yeah. And the Sundays are going to start to take a little bit of a hit just from the volume perspective with, all right, let's put a game on the night before Thanksgiving, then three on Thanksgiving and standalone games and Black Friday international games. I like them because you could focus on one game from a betting perspective, but you do start to kind of rob the goose to pay the gander, whatever the expression is. You're starting to take a little bit away from your Sunday afternoons, but weather too on the East Coast and throughout the country. I know Mets Braves got postponed really early on. They're going to play a doubleheader on Wednesday here with Cy Young becoming a little bit interesting. Chase Burns gave up a grand slam early against Cleveland. We watched Wheeler get rocked by the Marlins on Monday night, and Mizorowski's obviously doing what Miz is doing. So those markets are interesting, but keep an eye on the weather throughout the country. So a couple things to kind of balance here as a handicapper, Femi, for baseball. The trade deadline, where if you're betting these player props, keep in mind, if your player's on the trade block, if it's a starting pitcher, you know what? He could get pulled in the middle of a start. He could be on an innings or a pitch limit. You know, we've seen all the time these players, they call it hug alert, where third inning, a guy gets traded in the middle of a game. So just, wouldn't base a bet on it. But keep in mind, a little bit of a different week here as we get to the trade deadline with a lot of players on the move, or at least potentially on the move here.
Yeah, and just to reiterate for those of you just joining us now that weren't with us at the top of the hour, one, I will say shame on you. Two, I do like the Angels first five on the money line against the Astros in the game that's about to start in about 5 minutes. And then also the plug your nose play of the night. If you want to go dumpster diving, let's do it together. Rockies first five plus 168 against Michael King and the Padres. We're back in my good buddy Michael Lorenzen. I say my good buddy because for some reason I keep betting this guy every single week, because it's like, hey, like, you know, the underlying stuff is a little bit, it's better than the actual traditional numbers. Well, here we are again betting Michael Lorenzen on the road, this time at Petco Park. Beautiful ballpark, what if, by the way.
Well, it is a beautiful ballpark. What if I played under 4.5 in the first five? I'm kind of backing Lorenzen. You know, Rockies away from home. Although Rockies kind of swing the bats better
they do
this year than they have in past years. What about under 4.5 in the first five? I don't have the stomach, famous last words, for the Rockies, but what about under 4.5 in the first five? Is that palatable? Is that a good kind of alternative play to kind of get where you're going with the Lorenzen positive regression? Is that something you would sign off with, or just take the plus price with the Rockies? I just can't do it with Colorado.
I mean, you're asking someone who already took the plus price, so that's going to be my answer. But the reason why it's not going to be the under for me is that, like, you know, like if Lorenzen, let's say he's not up for it, like, you know, like the Padres could really beat them up, you know, like and like I get like the Padres lineup is not like humming on all cylinders. Like this is not murderer's row or anything like that. Hardly anything close to it. But it could be one of those nights where Lorenzen just gives up everything. So I would rather have the plus money to where if he's good and if he's live and it's like, okay, they're up for it, okay, I'm feeling good about plus 168 in my pocket. If he doesn't have it and I'm on the under 4.5 and now I'm like, well, I need Michael King to pitch five shutout innings to get this home. Like it's not a spot where I want to be. So yeah, it's going to be the Rockies for me. I would not bet the under. I see the thought process, but I'd rather just bet the Rockies and get the plus money and go dumpster diving.
Do you think the Padres trade Mason Miller?
Gosh, how many games are back? Are they in the wild card? Cause that's the conversation. Cause this thing is
two or three,
fluid.
Something like that. I can look two or three. Is there a market on him, by the way, Kalshi prediction markets?
So they're technically, they're one game back in the loss column for the wild card. So they're technically 1.5 back though in terms of games back. Let me refresh this to make sure I have that up to right. Yep. That's the correct thing. They're one game back in the loss column of the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm going to pull up Kalshi right now to see, cause I know they have Tarek Skubal, cause I saw him, the Dodgers rec at 40%. To get Tarek Skubal. Let's see.
Which, by the way, their number, like you look at that market, and I thought the Tigers were way undervalued, but the way that that market is valued, that is worded, and always check the wording on these, it's like next team come March 25th or something, where it's not next team in 2 weeks. It's next team in, you know, 6 months or something, which is a lot different, obviously a little more than 6 months, but you know, you get the idea. It's next year what team he's on, which is obviously much different. Not only are you tying up your money, but it's a completely different bet than just as simple as, yes, he will be traded, no, he won't be traded.
Yeah, I mean, I would never bet into that market. I mean, there's a reason why it has only $149,000 in volume. I think a lot of people are just like this is silly, you know? I don't know why they can't just do, like, where will he be pitching on August 5th? Or which team will he be
that
on
would
August
get a
5th?
Lot of attention. That would be a hot market.
Yes. You would be close to the, like, I don't think it's obviously not going to get anywhere close to LeBron, which was, what, $220 million of the volume. But you get, a couple million. Thing. You know, you get a couple million dollars in volume with people that are interested in what's going to happen with Tarik Skubal on the trade deadline, because it's the biggest story right now going in sports that's going to be resolved soon. You know, there's obviously, like, the NFL training camp is massive, but, like, in terms of something that's going to be resolved soon, within less than a week, it's this Skubal thing with the trade deadline. I think it's just – maybe there was rules that they couldn't do it that way, or maybe they just didn't want to get caught. Who knows? But it's a little bit disappointing that that's what the market actually is. As for Mason Miller, let's see if they even have one up for Mason Miller next team. But, like, once again, like, he could be traded, but then also then sign with another team during the hot stove. So, like the bet that would cash is the team that he would sign for, you know? So it's just, the whole thing is silly. I don't see Mason Miller up on Cal Street. I see Skubal, Mike Trout, Lindor, Joe Ryan, Sandy Alcantara, Aroldis Chapman, Christian Walker, Rafael Devers, Jaron Duran, Tatis, Adley Rutschman, Yandy Diaz, Luis Severino. Those are the guys that I see for next team over on Cal Street. So, apparently,
well,
no,
that's
Mason
a
Miller.
Lot of much more obscure players than Mason Miller. I'm surprised. I'd be fascinated to know what goes into, like, who's posted and who's not, and why these markets are kind of worded the way they are.
Yeah, there's about $2,600 in volume for Luis Severino if you want to get involved with that.
Wow.
Yeah. clearly, there's a lot of interest on that one. But that's where things stand right now in Major League Baseball. I think if they get the massive haul, you have to do it if you're the Padres. Because, like, he is a reliever. It's like, dude, if you're going to give me the, like, what did we talk about? The sun, the moon, the stars, and the galaxy last week? Like, if you're going to do that for a reliever, like, hey, man, I'll give you Mason Miller. And maybe we can try to re-sign him again come December or something like that. But is someone – I feel like the starting pitching is really what's going to get a lot of the hauls here at the deadline. It's not going to be a guy that's coming out of the bullpen, so I'm
going
to guess.
Boy, he can end the game, though. I mean, you could – you that's –
But,
man, like, I get it. Skubal,
but who
is
do
one
you
thing,
think needs him though? Like who's like, we're a Mason Miller away from going to the World Series? Like, who out there exists like that?
If I'm the Yankees and I have pretty good feeling, pretty good intel that Judge is going to come back, I've got Fried, Schlittler, and I've got Cole. And if a big spot, I can trot Mason Miller out there for the last 5-6 outs of a game, and then that slots Bednar back. That's tempting. I mean, look, I've seen it firsthand as a Yankee fan. When you can shut down and lock down those final three outs in a big game when you really need it, those last six outs, that's very tempting. I'd be, you know, if you're the Padres, you need starting pitching. Warren, Weathers, outfielders, Dominguez, Spencer Jones, a few of those guys, man. I don't know what it would take. I would be tantalized by Mason Miller.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be conversations that are had. I'm just not
Pirates
sure.
Pirates, too. What about the Pirates?
Pirates, yeah.
Pair him with that starting pitching. Go for it.
That'd be fun. That would be fun. Although, do you try to get bats if you're the Pirates? Like, do you try to say, like, let's bowl? I know, like, O'Neill Cruz is going to come back at some point and all that. Like, but do you just try to say, hey, like, let's load up on the lineup and, like, let's trust in the starting pitching that's young, youthful, that can get us through October?
I think if I've got that kind of starting pitching, plus I can add Miller, you know what? Give me 3 runs a night, 4 runs a night, and I'll take my chances. Him on the Pirates would be fun.
Yeah. I mean, the Buccos, if they can make the playoffs, that'll be fun. Your guy Don Kelly could perhaps win National League Manager of the Year. Well, baseball's hot and heavy. The NFL preseason, that's a couple weeks away, and this is your last chance to lock in the early bird pricing on our football special for just $175. Get instant access to the NFL betting guide. Then on August 3rd, you'll get the college football betting guide with all 138 team FBS teams and previews and all that such. You'll also get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Get VSiN full pro access through the Super Bowl before the price ends on
Thank you.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Is there a little magic in the Steel City? Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Ebefe, Will Hill here with you guys on a Tuesday night. The Pittsburgh Pirates, once down 6-0, have now tied up this game in the bottom of the ninth. We are now knotted at 6. The Buccos, the live money line favorite, minus 156. Diamondbacks plus 120. Total at 13.5. Admittedly, I was not paying attention to this game because I was like, hey, Diamondbacks are up 6-0. They're probably just going to wrap it up. But as we've been saying about some of our other bets that we've had, like, oh, I don't want to count the chickens or whatever, this is exactly why. Because in baseball, there's no clock. And as long as you have some outs to play with, you are in the baseball game as the Pirates have completed the comeback, and we will see if they can get it over the finish line as the Diamondbacks look like they are going to make a pitching change. Seawald, go ahead and hit the shower, buddy.
Yeah, and not just a 6-0 deficit, Femi, a 6-0 deficit in the bottom of the eighth inning, 3 in the 8th, 3 in the 9th, a pair of home runs here back-to-back, and all of a sudden Pittsburgh 6-6, and not just a big comeback, but a very important game because these teams come into today tied for the final wild card spot. The Pirates, I believe, would get the edge here via the tiebreaker. But you know, you get the idea. There's a bunch of these teams bunched up, and these games become very important, not just for head-to-head tiebreaker, but just, you know, these are two-game swings in the standings. So Pirates got a little magic. I still don't love the way Skeens has thrown the ball recently. Yeah. It's a lot of 95, 96 on the radar gun as opposed to 100, 101. And you just wonder, can these guys keep it up long-term, throwing 100, 101 as starters, you know, 100 pitches every 5 days. But the rest of the rotation has a lot of talent, a lot of pedigree. Braxton Ashcraft, Jared Jones, Bubba Chandler, who pitched tonight, wasn't great. And they're swinging the bats now, so Pirates are fun, and I still think the best bet out of all this stuff in terms of the awards, futures, we talked about it last night, Don Kelly, the Pirates manager at 8-1. I can sit here and poke so many holes through the guys that are ahead of him. The Pirates haven't been in the playoffs in forever. They haven't won a playoff series in forever. I love Kelly plus 800 manager of the year. I think he is super live, and if the Pirates got in, he would be the favorite.
Yeah, I think it makes a ton of sense on Don Kelly to win National League Manager of the Year. I agree wholeheartedly with that one, as we discussed last night here. What's the ceiling for the Pirates if they are to make it to the playoffs? Because it's like, it's haven't been there since 2015, haven't won a series since 1979, which is out of control. That's a real stat. But can this team, in a wild card setup where it's like, hey, you got all these pitchers here that was like Skeens as the top of the head of the snake, that's a dangerous team to have to face, but can they do it in an NLDS, an NLCS? Could they win the World Series? Like, how high do you think the ceiling is for this young Pirates team?
They're probably still a year away, but you know what? We'll see what they do with the deadline. And if you can get Skeens back being on track in a short series, they have the formula. I compared them to the 2019 Nats.
Wow.
With all that pitching. I think you made the comparison to the 2003 Marlins. I think it was you that compared them to the Marlins. They've got a lot of talent. You know what? Baseball playoffs, you get in, anything can happen. They would be very, very dangerous. I want to see them get in, not just for my bets' sake, but I think they could be fun. I think they could be dangerous. You got to get Skeens back to being Skeens, though. I don't know if they have enough. It's sort of like the Yankees, where you got to get Judge back at some point. I don't know if they have enough, but Skeens is just good. Skeens needs to be great. Skeens needs to be Skeens. We haven't seen him be Skeens in a while now, but if you can get him back on track, there's a lot of talent there.
Did you see what just happened in the game? Like the Diamondbacks pulled the Yankees out there in the in left field and just kind of made a mess of it. So Ryan O'Hearn then gets to double what should have been a routine pop-up. It just drops between two guys, and Ryan O'Hearn is in at second. So now we have a runner in scoring position. Nick Gonzalez at the plate to try to maybe walk this thing off here in the bottom of the ninth. Sometimes when you start to collapse, I guess it gets completely off the rails. And when it rains, it pours, because I don't know what the heck the Arizona Diamondbacks were doing. Like, it's like, this is the ninth inning, guys. Like, you got to communicate. What's going on?
Yeah, I didn't see it, but Gonzalez at the plate now, man on second, one out, 0-2 count. You always feel like once you get to extra innings, it's such a crapshoot. So, but the Pirates got a chance to win it and not let it get there. up against it here with this batter, Gonzalez at the plate in the 0-2 count, but two chances here to get the game-winning in. Just a furious comeback. Down 6-0 in the bottom of the eighth, and here they are 6-6 in the ninth with a chance to walk it off.
Yeah, I'm into this Pirates team. I think we discussed that how like this could be a team that potentially makes a dark horse run throughout the National League. And like if it's not going to be someone like the Dodgers winning it all, it almost feels like it should be like a crazy team and not necessarily like, oh, like if it's not the Dodgers, then it's the Phillies. Like, no, I don't think it's that. I think it's something crazy that people don't expect. And I want to say the team that I compared them to, and this is not an apples to apples comparison. It's not very parallel, but they kind of remind me a little bit about that Diamondbacks team a few years ago that made the World Series.
Okay.
Where it's like, you know, it's like not a whole lot was expected. It's like, hey, the Diamondbacks are in the playoffs. And all of a sudden, oh, the Diamondbacks are in the NLCS, but the Phillies will take care of them. Especially when Philly took a 3-2 lead back home for game 6 and 7.
Oh yeah.
It's like, oh, well, they lost game 6. Well, the Phillies will win game 7. Oh, actually the Diamondbacks just won both game 6 and 7 at Citizen Bank Park. And now they're going to go play Texas in the World Series. Like this thing in baseball, when you get a team that is young and they're not scarred and they don't know what they don't know, like those are dangerous baseball teams. I would be more scared of the Pirates than I would the Phillies. If we're talking about the Keystone State teams, the Buccos scare me a lot more than Philadelphia is going to just, they'll find a way to lose the game and crumble. But man, that's a nice play there. By the way, did he catch that ball? Yeah, he did catch that. Nice little catch on the pop-up. As I believe that wraps it up there for the night.
He made it look harder than it should have been. I mean, that was pretty routine. He turned it into an adventure, but all's well that ends well. He does make the catch. Wouldn't that be funny from like a labor negotiation standpoint? And man, I hope we're not sitting here in a year talking about, baseball where we have a season to just figure it out, play the games. We all love the games. Wouldn't that throw a nice little monkey wrench though for the owners that say, wow, no, it's not fair. Only the big markets win. It'd be funny if you went into these negotiations with the Pirates, a World Series participant or a World Series champion.
Yeah, it's like, how do you make that case? It's like, well, the Pirates just won the World Series like 3 months ago, guys. What are you talking about? I think the owners are very much rooting for the Dodgers to win the World Series so they can go out there and get the fan. Because I've seen some of the conversation on social media, and I know social media is only but a certain section of the country, a certain section of the baseball viewing population. But in the offseason, around opening day, people were like, oh, like, man, like the players should just accept this. This seems like a fair deal and this and that. Like the owners do have a little bit of juice here with the fans. And the court of public opinion, because a lot of people are scared of the doom and gloom Dodgers dominating their favorite sport. But we'll see. I think a lot of what happens in this postseason might end up shaping how these CBA negotiations go. It sounds silly to say out loud, but I think you're dead on. If a team like the Pirates win it, that probably it means that we are that much closer to some sort of an agreement, and the players probably winning the negotiation and us getting baseball on opening day next year in late March or in early April. Well, we know we have football. And when we have football contests. And if you're going to play in football contests, listen up. Winner Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that will put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest for free. One winner will receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, and another will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Both winners will also receive a full season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd for your chance to win. Visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. I'm excited. I haven't signed up yet, but I will be signing up for the Survivors and the Millions. That's a great time. Then just you get the juices flowing, man. You absolutely do. Once you sign up, you just know football season is here. Bet Bash is about to come up. A couple of weeks, you'll be out here for Bet Bash. Is it next week for Bet Bash or in 2 weeks?
A week, baby.
In a week?
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's do it.
And make sure it's nice and cool when I get there. I don't know about the heat. I've got fair skin. Make sure it's nice and cool for me. Thank you.
Pack the SPF 100, whatever you need. Pack it.
Yeah.
How long is Bet Bash? Is that 2 days, 3 days? What's the schedule looking like?
Something like that, but I'll be there before it and after it, so I'll be there.
He says, I'm setting up shop in Vegas.
It's indoors, right? It's in Bet Bash is indoors, I'm assuming, right?
Yes. I want to say last year.
I will be indoors.
They did like a scavenger hunt portion last year, so that might have been an outdoor activity. But for the most part, I think about 90% of it is indoors. So, yeah, that'll be something that's fun.
I will have the punt. Anything outdoors, I will have the punt team on the field. The punt unit will be out there for anything outdoors.
He's not going to go for it. He's going to go full Tomlin for us here. We're not going for it. shout out our guy Mike Tomlin, now in the media. Looking forward to his thoughts over on the NBC Football Night of America. That should be a fun. A lot to get to in the National Football League, which we will over the final hour. But we'll also keep you posted on the extra innings extravaganza between the Diamondbacks and the Pirates. We'll see you guys on the other side for hour number 4 of VSiN Primetime.